we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. The Gospel of the Lord.
Please be seated. So first of all, I don't know what's going on with the sound system. It hasn't done this before. It keeps going in and out. In a moment, after I introduce Harvey, I'm just going to say a prayer and ask God to not let that distract us this morning. But there it is. We've named it. It's out there. It's happening. I don't know. So we are blessed this morning to have Harvey Carey with us. Harvey is an internationally traveled speaker who specializes on speaking on the Holy Spirit, and so we are blessed to have him. It came about because it's been a blessing to get to know Harvey over these past few days, and to see his passion for the Lord, to see his humility, to see the gifts that God has given him. We're truly blessed to have him with us. So let me say a prayer as we invite Harvey to come forward. Oh God, we do come before you this morning, and as you poured out your Holy Spirit on your disciples, then pour out your Spirit upon us now. As you enabled the people to hear in their own languages, would you enable us this morning to each from our own context?
I know the sound system is going in and out, but I'm pretty loud, so it'll be all right. Let me just say to this amazing church, I have been so blessed by getting a chance to meet some of you and fellowship with you throughout the retreat some, and even today at the first service to meet some. I travel a lot, I go to a lot of churches, and you can tell when people really have love in the house. And there is love in this community, and there's love in this church, and I'm so grateful to be here. How appropriate on Pentecost Sunday for us to really dive into maybe a conversation about the person and the power and work of the Holy Spirit. As a person who has come to know Christ in college, I grew up in the Christian church, but did not have a personal relationship with Jesus until I really gave my life to him and yielded my heart to him as a student at Northwestern University. And as I was preparing to go into business and finance, God interrupted my regularly scheduled programming and called me not only to follow him, but to actually be full-time in the service of ministry. And so some many years later, I have found would you lead me? Holy Spirit, would you comfort me? Holy Spirit, would you teach me? The Holy Spirit was not someone that I talked to or really thought about that much. I knew he was a part of the Godhead, but not someone that I really addressed or really kind of incorporated in my everyday life. And you all, I believe this is a huge, huge, gross error in the lives of many well-intentioned believers. And how appropriate on this weekend when the Alpha Course, which is where many of the people that are here heard me speaking, it's a course that's been developed to really introduce many seekers and non-believers to Christ, giving them an opportunity to be in a safe environment to ask questions. Many times you all, when people are asking questions, there needs to be a resident theologian that can answer all the questions. But Alpha's a pastor and his wife, who again began this amazing course that millions of people have come to faith because of it. They brought pastors together to kind of investigate Alpha, and this pastor and his wife simply gathered us in a room and said, "You guys, I want you just to say, 'Come, Holy Spirit,' and just in whatever way that is for you, just yield to him." Well, I figured I'd already yielded to the Holy Spirit and to God, but I said, you know what, I'm just going to do this again. And I lifted my hands and said a simple prayer, "Come, Holy Spirit." And you all, I'll be honest, in that moment, something happened to me that was frightening a little bit and really unexpected. I kind of had a second awakening of the Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit in my heart and life. And I, as a pastor in Detroit, Michigan, now 15 years, planted a church, a multicultural community in the heart of the city. I, even though I love the Holy Spirit, I kind of have seen the Holy Spirit miss. Have me do that in front of a lot of people. And so you all, I actually as a pastor would quench the spirit in moments and say, you know what, I don't want God to be represented as this weird entity, because many people who are far from God would be turned away from the church. But in that moment in London, I realized that the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, he's not weird. He's not strange. He's not offensive. Indeed, he's the perfect gentleman. He's the character of God, and God would never do something that would cause someone to be far from God, but actually attract them to him. And so we found in the Gospel of John, as you heard a few moments ago, Jesus communicating with his disciples. Indeed, this was his prayer. Many of us recite Our Father, which art in heaven. We say that's the Lord's Prayer. Even though the Lord taught that prayer, it was not Pentecost Sunday, Pentecost moments when the Spirit of God came, the Spirit of God only was with people, but not indwelling inside of them. Why is that? Because people had not been yet redeemed, and our souls had not been really washed with the blood of Christ. And after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and those who trusted in him, they were cleansed and redeemed and right before God. And now they were ripe for the indwelling of the Spirit. And so Jesus said, I'm praying that the Comforter would come. And there was a promise that he said, listen, the Comforter will be inside of you, not just with you, but in you. And then as we go to Acts chapter 2, we see the fulfillment of that promise. Hear your voice more clearly. I desire that you would give me a heart for those who are far from you. And they were gathered together waiting on the promise of God. And the Bible says that when God showed up, he showed out. When he showed up, you all, he came in as a violent, rushing wind. And the Spirit of God descended upon each of them in these cloven tongues. And they were all filled with the Spirit. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ today, if you've at any point given your heart to him, I came to let you know the Holy Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. For many of us who are struggling with the journey of life, right? Many of us are not all that we should be. Many of us still sin. We still miss the mark. We still do things. God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The book of Colossians says that in Christ is the fullness of the Godhead in him. So when you got Jesus, you got all of the entity of God. You got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Many people teach, and I believe it's an erroneous teaching, that, well, you may have God the Father, you may have God the Son, but you don't really have the Spirit, because if you had the Spirit, you would do this particular thing, and you'd do that particular thing. The Holy Spirit is the person of God promised by Jesus to live on the inside of every single person who put their trust in Christ. The question may not be, is the Holy Spirit inside of you, and do you have the Holy Spirit? You do. The question is, does the Holy Spirit have all of you? You have all of him, but does he have all of us? And I believe he doesn't all. To the restroom so I can not allow other people to see that I'm losing control. You know what that moment might have been? It might have been the Spirit of God wanting you, control person, to relieve and release all of this control to someone greater than you. The Holy Spirit came on that day, and when he indwelt them, he didn't just indwell them so they had goosebumps and start doing these strange things, but the Bible says something miraculous happened. Not only was there a promise of the Holy Spirit that Jesus gave, not only was there this awaiting for him to come, but now we see the practicality of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that when they were filled, empower us to do what we could not do outside of ourselves. I'm black, and I've been that way a long time, by the way. And as an African-American, you all, I have had the privilege to speak in a lot of different circles. And in the heart of Detroit, Michigan, I have a multicultural church. And the African-American people that are part of my church, when I get up to preach, the first thing that they say, before I even get up speaking, they're like, "Preach it, Pastor. Go ahead, man. I haven't even said anything yet." They're already standing up. They're hitting tambourines. They're ready to go. My Anglo people are sitting waiting to find out, is this the first point? Is this the second point? Where is he at? What's the trajectory of the message? I mean, it's a different way in which they're wired. So I don't. The gospel. And I find that when we're endowed and empowered by the Holy Spirit, he gives us the ability to speak and communicate and do things that we could never do in and through our own strength. And on the day of Pentecost, these Galileans who were not trained in linguistics, they opened their mouths by the power of the Spirit, and the Bible says they began to speak in other languages. And not just one language, but all of the languages of the people that were gathered in Jerusalem on this feast day. And not only speaking, you all, but they were communicating the gospel of Jesus Christ. The coming of the Spirit was not again for goosebumps, not just for them in the upper room having a Holy Spirit experience, but it was empowering them. Holy Spirit given to us, the promise of the Holy Spirit fulfilled, and we're grateful for that. We sing about it, we celebrate it. But here's the question: how is the Holy Spirit activated in our lives? Is he empowering us to do some things that we've never done? Is he giving us the ability to cross chasms that we normally would be afraid to cross? Is he giving us the ability to maybe communicate across some differences that we never could do had we not been endowed by the Holy Spirit? There's never been a more divisive time in our nation. There's never been a more challenging time in our world than right now. But wouldn't it be amazing if the Church of Jesus Christ would realize that we have the answer, and the answer is in the person and the work of God's Spirit that dwells on the inside of us, doing what? Giving us the ability to talk to people that we normally would not talk to, cross a chasm of difference that we normally not for you to start rolling on the floor, not for you to start doing strange and weird things, but for you to get out of your comfort zone and say, "Holy Spirit, less of me and more of you. Less of my will and more of yours. Empower me to have that conversation with my family member that I've been afraid to have. Empower me to reach out to a coworker that is far from God, that I know the only answer to her problem is Christ. Enabling me to have a conversation with someone that is perpetuating injustice, and in the name of Christ, standing up for what's right. That can't be done without the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. So on this Pentecost Sunday, the Holy Spirit is simply maybe in a new way, surrender afresh and anew. And when we do that, church, all of a sudden the things that have divided us won't divide us so much. All of a sudden the chasms that seem so wide will start to be breached. All of a sudden the things that seem to be the ills of our world will be strangely dim in the presence of God's grace through his glorious church. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this day that we remember the Holy Spirit coming and indwelling us. Father, we pray that all of us, wherever we are on the journey, would not be frightened of such a beautiful gift. It would be equivalent to at Christmas receiving the best gift and saying, oh, I'm scared to open it. You've given us life. You've given us the comforter. You've given us the teacher. You've given to have those in this city and the surrounding counties and area who have questions about God, that Holy Spirit, you begin to answer them and bring them into a saving relationship with you. And so on this Pentecost Sunday, we say thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming, but we also say afresh and anew, come, Holy Spirit. And it's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen.